welcome everybody to the concurrent meeting of the Florida Building Commission's Electrical, Mechanical, and Swimming Pool Technical Advisory Committees of May 8, 2024. A couple quick reminders, be aware of background noise, and please keep your devices on mute. If you're on a phone, do not put yourself on hold. Please wait to speak until invited to do so at the appropriate times, and please state your name each time speaking, and of course, TAC members when making and seconding motions. I'm going to go ahead and do a roll call of each of our TACs in turn, electrical, mechanical, and pool, ask each one to approve the agenda in the minutes. So convene each one in turn, and then we'll go through the process of, or review the process we're going to do for today's meeting and how it's going to work. All right, so first off, let's start with the electrical TAC and determine that we have a quorum. Commissioner Wilcox?
This is mechanical, Jeff.
No, this is actually three tacks, David. It's electrical, mechanical, and swimming currently.
Okay.
So I'm going to convene them alphabetically. First the electrical, and then I'll go to the mechanical, and then the swimming. And we'll do that throughout. We'll also approve the motions, et cetera, individually. So going back to the electrical tack, Commissioner Wilcox.
Here.
Oh, very good. Neil Burdick?
I'm here. Thank you.
Ken Castanova?
Here.
And I believe that Randy Dyer is here for Vincent Delacroix. Randy?
Yeah, that's correct.
Very good. Shane Gerwick? Shane?
Here.
John Hall?
Here.
Brian Holland? Brian, are you on? All right, David Rice. All right, Joe Torito.
Here.
Okay, Joe. Clarence Tibbs.
I'm here.
All right, and Roy Van Wick. Saw Roy's name on here, Roy. I think you might. You were there. Roy, are you on or not? All right, let me double check with those who didn't respond to the roll call. Brian Holland, David Rice, and Roy Van Wick.
Roy is here, but he's just muted.
I don't see
his... I've got it
all. Mr. Wright is on the call as well. All right, well, now we hear you, Roy. So Roy's present.
Yep,
and David Rice is here as well. David, are you on? Okay, he's waving. So, all right. Well, I guess that just leaves Brian Holland. So this TAC has 9 of 10, which constitutes a quorum. So for the electrical TAC, first the agenda for today is to approve your October 6, 2022 meeting minutes, and then to accept the interim draft report for the research project evaluation of the cost impacts and benefits of the 2024 ICO changes prescriptive. Is there a motion to approve that, please?
Yes, so moved.
Rito, second.
All right, a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous. Unless there's any corrections or revisions to the October 6, 2022 meeting minutes, is there a motion to accept those minutes as posted by name, please?
Yes, so moved.
Torito, second.
I have a motion and a second from Tibbs and Torito, respectively. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, the electrical TAC is officially convened. We'll now go to the mechanical TAC to determine that we have a quorum. And we'll start that with Commissioner John David.
Here.
Oscar Calleja. Oscar, I thought I saw Oscar.
Yeah, he was here.
Is he still here?
Looks like he lost his connection.
All right. Elizabeth Gull? Jane Griffin.
Here.
Gary Griffin.
Here.
Joe Greiner. Alex Hernandez.
Here.
Kenny Locke.
Here.
Donnie Pittman.
Here.
Rick Sims.
Here.
Pete Candela.
Here.
All right, let me double check. Oscar Kaya, Elizabeth Gohl, Joe Greiner. All right, well, we have 8 of our 11, so we do have a quorum. The agenda for today is to approve your February 21st, 2024 meeting minutes and, of course, to accept the interim draft report for the research project evaluation, the cost impacts, benefits of 2024 ICODs prescriptive. Is there a motion to accept the reports by name to approve the agenda? I'm sorry.
Al Johnson, approve.
Approve.
Right, the second is from?
I'll second. Alex Hernandez.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. Unless there's any corrections or revisions to the February 21st, 2024 meeting minutes, is there a motion to accept those meeting minutes by name, please, as posted?
Donnie, approve.
Okay.
Gary Griffin, second.
All right, we have a motion and a second from Pittman and Griffin, respectively. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous. All right, the mechanical tack is now officially convened. Now we'll go to our swimming pool tack. Commissioner Batts. Jim?
I'm here, Joe.
Great. Jordan Clarkson?
I'm here.
Very good. Michael Garacio?
Yeah.
Jim Lay Petrie. Linda Patrick.
Here.
Gerald Robinson. Bob Vincent. John Whaler.
Here.
All right, well, we have 5, which is a quorum. I'll double check. Jim LePetri, Jill Robinson, and Bob Vincent. All right. Swimming pool tack. Today's agenda is to approve the February 21st, 2024 meeting minutes and to accept the interim draft report regarding the cost, impact, benefits of 2024 ICODs changes prescriptive. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as posted?
Linda Patrick, move to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. And then unless there's any corrections or revisions to the February 21st, 2024 meeting minutes, is there a motion, please, to accept those minutes as posted and by name?
Linda Patrick, so moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right, we've convened all 3 of the electrical, mechanical, and swimming pool tacks, so we're ready to get started. And Dr. Ray Issa is here. He'll do his presentation. Mo, would you like to do a introduction while Ray gets his presentation ready? And Jim, you turn the sharing over to Ray, please.
Yes, this is Mo Magani.
Good
morning. The research project that's on the agenda, evaluation of cost, impact, and benefits of the 2024 ICODE. This is a project that we have done every time we're about to update the Foreign Building Code. And as you know, we are in the process now of updating the current Foreign Building Code to the 2026 edition. The purpose of this research project is to review the latest revision to the international code, which is in this case the 2024 ICODE, and point out which code change mainly have an impactful subject matter which is really could add additional cost to construction. We're only focusing on those code changes that's prescriptive in nature. So, again, with us is our principal investigator, Raymond Deesa, to give us an update on it, on the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo.
Good morning. Hey, excuse me, Ray, one second, just before you start. I neglected to identify our staff folks today. Alan Burke, Norman Bellamy, Joe Bigelow, Sabrina Evans, Jim Hammers, Mo Madani, Chip Sellers, and Justin Vogel for DBPR, and myself, Jeff Blair, for Commission's Facilitator. Ray, will you be doing individually for the electrical mechanical?
Yeah, I'm starting with electrical, and then I'll go to mechanical.
Very good. So what we'll do is after Ray does the presentation.
Jeff, this is Oscar. You can hear me. I dropped my internet is down, so I'm on the phone.
Okay, so we'll note that Oscar's on. That makes 9 for the mechanical. So what we'll do is after the electrical presentation, we'll take any comments, and then we'll ask Electrical TAC to approve the report, and then they can adjourn and not have to sit through, and then we'll do the same respectively for mechanical pool. All right, Ray, go ahead with the electrical.
Okay, good morning, everybody. I'm going to be talking about the NEC code in this presentation, so Mo already introduced what we're doing. This is a team of professional engineers that's working on this, and what we're looking at is to assess the cost impact of the qualitative benefit of the 2024 International Building Code prescriptive changes. This is the statement of work we had, the review analyzed approved 2024 I-Code NEC changes, review available literature studies, estimated construction cost impact of those provisions, use the standards at the baseline residential and commercial buildings to implement those, develop building information models and use the information cost databases to do a cost comparison. At the end, we're going to have a report providing technical information, the problem background, and a final report by the middle of June. These are the assumptions that we have in the system that we made, some general assumptions, and this is the first. So, code change FR 8583 is related to identifying circuit sources in large and high-rise buildings, and it adds $25 per source. The great FR 8633, the great solar platform being flat and level in the working space, is not addressed by NEC. The panel includes that having a flat level working space is vital to safety of personnel. So that's one change. FR 8865, the proposed language will ensure GFCI protection dislocation advanced branching circuits provide protection of any outlet appliance, the list of appliances, regardless of vintage or whether or not GFCI protection is included. That adds $75 per protector. The proposed language would require FR 8896, requires GFCI protection for dwelling outdoor outlets when they are replaced and will increase safety. That adds another $75. SR 7956, GFCI protection was expanded to address any cord or plug appliance in the kitchen, regardless of whether the receptacle serves the countertop. That adds $50 and it reduces shock hazard. FR 9628 provides a window of opportunity to continue the research currently underway between AFCI manufacturers and manufacturers of welding equipment. That's a minor increase in cost. SR 8090 removes the options to install receptacles below the countertop for islands and peninsulas, but also makes the requirement for receptacles on islands and peninsulas optional, so that would cut a cost of $100, and the purpose here was to reduce burnout hazards. FR 7658 adds a new section to reduce the hazards that exist when creating electrical safe work conditions and equipment supplied by tap conductors. It adds $50. Again, this reduces shock hazards. FR 7689, surge protection was included in the 2020 NEC to address the recognized need for surge protection to protect the sensitive electronics and systems functions in most modern appliances. And so this adds $800 for surge protection. FR 9172, technologies and energy management systems are being developed, listed, and installed, and these are adding features not only limit power flow in different systems, so that is the decreasing, this will result in a decreasing cost. It varies based on what you're installing, of course. FR 9153 CMP2 recognizes there are general lighting load requirements throughout the entire dwelling. The floor error calculation has been changed to encompass all areas of the dwelling. There's an increase in cost, which varies based on what you're adding in the floor area. Original research and data that led to changes in table 2020.12 assumed a 0.8 PF that was left out in the last revision, and so that was put back in. It decreases the cost. Of course, it varies on the situation. FR 7706, it correlates with existing requirements for service supply dwelling units and the revision of 230.85. First responders will need the ability to disconnect the power to the dwelling without regard to whether it's a feeder or service supply. It adds about $323 to the cost. FR 7707, surge protection was included in the 2020 NEC to address the recognized need for surge protection to protect sensitive electronic systems from the most modern appliances in dwelling. That adds $100. FR 7739, electronic life-saving equipment such as fire alarm systems, IDCI, GFCIs, AFCI, and smoke alarms may be damaged when the surge occurs due to lighting, internal local switching as well as external utility switching. And so to protect against that, we're adding, the cost is $250. FR 8302, this revision provides correlation with other emergency disconnect requirements in the code. First responders may not be aware of the location of other emergency disconnects not co-located where the emergency disconnect as a service. CMP 10 requested the NECs CC correlate emergency disconnect marking requirements throughout the NEC that will add about $100 to the cost. FR 7834, this editorial leads to the late implementation date and adds a reference to the first level subdivision C in the parent text. The cost varies because this lowers the threshold for arc flash mitigation, which was repealed in draft 8323. FR 8521, a limitation was added, prohibited the use of exception 310.14A2. And this will require all ungrounded and grounded conductors and terminal insulation that is foam core considered to be considered current carrying for the purpose of capacity adjustment, and that will cause a minimal increase in cost. FR 7863 CMP9 is not removing the occupancy limitation because this presents the principal application of the rule. It removes the allowance that the grounded conductor will not be required to be installed at a lighting switch location where the box enclosed in the switch is accessible. That adds about $11. CMP 18 adds new 406.4G to additionally apply use of floor receptacles in dry locations. That adds about $50 for the protection of floor receptacle. FR 7598, receptacles other than 15 and 20 ampere to 125 to 250 volt rated are commonly installed in close proximity and exposed to the same, in many cases, even more severe environmental influences. Overheating may be caused, so this is requiring the receptacle to be weather resistant. That adds $30 per unit. FR 8053, the first revision that requires surge protective devices, addresses documented safety issues that have been reported by the Electrical Safety Foundation, and that adds about $100 surge protection. FR 7656, any roof can have the metal or shingles replaced, roofers with trusses or rafters when nailing, and could puncture luminaries, so there's a cost increase to protect from nails. FR 7925, enhanced safety will be achieved by requiring extra-potential planes to mitigate step and touch voltages for electrical equipment. The supply power of equipment located at or on docks, and the cost of additions varies here also, depending on the situation. FR 7931, luminaries are currently not addressed in Article 555. The language asks clarity for both installers and AJ's address of electricity. It asks $40 per luminary. The 7713 was advised to require PPS for WPTE, and that would increase in cost, will vary depending on the situation. FR 9510, the new section was added after 630.6 to require GFCI protection for personnel for all electric welder applications that add $75 to the GFCI. FR 8516, the words in the title have changed from ground fault interrupters to ground fault protection and to address all ground fault protection, and the requirements have been expanded, include all 120 volt and 200 volt, 50 volt through 250 volt receptacle up to 60 amps as it has to be receptacle that's similar to 120 volt, 20 amp receptacle. $100, FR 8553, the title was changed to ground fault to address all, similarly address all ground fault interruption that adds $80. FR 8539, requirements have been expanded to include all 120 volt through 250 volt receptacle up to 60 amps, and as the hazard for these receptacles is similar, that adds another $100. FR 8697, the current wording only applies to survey equipment and feed floating structures and submersible electrical equipment, feeder panels, and electrical distribution equipment that does not supply power to floating structures or submersible electrical equipment were exempt from the requirements of this section. The hazard is the same whether or not the distribution equipment feeds equipment or in the body of water. This revision now is going to require all distribution equipment to be located a safe distance from the body of water. The last sentence was deleted because the bottom plane is 2 feet above high water level, and the increase in cost varies depending on the installation situation. FR 9278, as a new exception to it, is added to align with existing exception requirements for firefighters, rooftop access, and pathways in the building and fire codes. Both texts regarding the types of installation do not require rapid shutdown was added to the informational, and the decreasing cost is going to vary, and this makes it consistent with the fire codes. FR 8881, the revision provides correlation with 700.10b5b. Legally required systems are installed to supply loads such as heating and refrigeration system, communication system, ventilation and smoke system, etc., and industrial processes that when stopped during any interruption to normal electrical supply could create hazard or hamper rescue or firefighting operations. So that adds about $1,200, and that makes the system resilient. FR 8904, it adds signage requirements for multifamily housing as necessary for the first responders and maintenance personnel. That adds $100. FR 9410 adds specific requirements for the use of energy management systems to control loads connected to systems with on-site generation. It accommodates property owners to seek to further pursue using on-site sources that are requiring extensive electrical system equipment upgrades that are not necessary in all use cases. The decrease varies. The 91 FR 9114, this revision creates a new section that requires commissioning. The increase varies based on the size of the area requiring commissioning. FR 9524, fire alarm control panels contain electronics that can be damaged by surges appearing on the supply side of the equipment. So, providing over voltage protection can increase the liability installation. That adds $100. And that's the cost impact of the code change. We're working on getting the models in place. Are there any questions?
Electrical TAC members, do you have any questions you'd like to ask regarding the analysis? Remember, this is not the time to discuss the substantive aspect of the code changes. You'll have an opportunity to do that in September and October of 2024 when the commission's TAC review the ICO changes. Any questions on the analysis or comparison? All right, is there anybody from the public that wishes to comment on this electrical part of this? All right, coming back to electrical TAC, then, is there a motion to accept the interim draft report for the research project titled Evaluation of the Cost, Impact, and Benefit of 2024 ICO Changes Prescriptive Code Changes? Is there a motion, please?
Verdict, motion to accept.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It's unanimous. Commissioner Wilcox, if you would just say we stand adjourned, that would adjourn, then adjourn the electrical TAC and free them to go or stay as they desire.
Okay. We stand adjourned.
Right, thank you, electrical TAC. Let's move on to the mechanical TAC, Ray.
Okay, I won't go over the first few slides. They're all similar. So we'll go directly into the changes. M2-21 revised definition of the condensing unit, and that adds 10 to 15% material cost per ton of cooling. M4-21 changed the heat pump definition, and that adds also 10 to 15% material cost per ton of cooling. M13-21 revises 306.5 equipment appliances on roofs or elevated structures, and it sets the distances at 20% for VLF to OSHA ladder material costs. 14-21 equipment appliances on roofs or elevated structures or equipment requiring access or appliances are located on elevated structure on the roof. Top landing requirement, in this case, add $75 per square foot of additional landing that's required. M16-21, intake opening location, this deals with air intake openings, shall comply with all of the following. And item 3 was added, intake openings shall be located no less than 3 feet below contaminant sources where such sources are located within 10 feet of the opening. That results in a decreased material cost of 5% factory built combination intake exhaust units. M19-21 revised 403.3.1 other buildings intended to be occupied design local exhaust systems and ventilation systems for outdoor air for occupancy other than group R2, R3, or R3. Three stories and less above grade plane shall comply with section 403.3.1 through 403.314 and 3.2 and 3.2.1 had the changes. There's a new formula, and so that adds about $10 per CFM material and labor cost for additional CFM required. This cost includes mechanical and air, mechanical and fluid, and electrical. So it prevents underventilation of a space, basically. M22-21, minimum ventilation rates, that's in this table 403.3.1.1. It adds outdoor air for self-storage facilities, that has, again, the same as the previous one. M22-21 adds some footnotes as far as occupiable floor area and warehouses, and that additional outdoor requirement that's similar to the previous one. M24-21, minimum required local exhaust rates for group R2, R3, our 4 occupancy, that adds $1,250 material label cost for additional 50 CFM kitchen exhaust between mechanical, air equipment, and duct, and $375 material labor costs for additional 50 CSM kitchen exhaust and mechanical, air, and equipment duct. M4541, section 403, mechanical ventilator, addresses clean air delivery, and that adds about $1,750 material labor cost for each additional outlet required for plug-in air purification. That includes the electrical black box, outlet, conduit wire, and terminations. M28-21 deals with location of exhaust outlets, and for all environmental air exhausts, 3 feet from property lines, 3 feet from operable openings, except where the exhaust opening is located no less than 1 foot above the gravity air intake opening. Into buildings for all occupancy other than group U and 10 feet from mechanical air intakes. So that savings of $1,500 for exhaust outlet location. M29-21 Part 1 added the following 501.6 common ducts discharged with exhaust fans serving separate dwelling or sleeping units shall not be connected to a common duct or shaft except where the common duct or shaft is maintained at a negative pressure. That adds $1,000 for separate exhaust outlet extension. M32-21 exhaust ducts. Domestic cooking exhaust equipment shall be discharged to the outdoors through sheet metal ducts constructed of galvanized steel, fields, etc. The exception that was added was group I-1 occupancies, ranges having a minimum airflow of 500 CFM, and mechanical ventilation shall be provided in rooms or spaces containing the domestic cooking equipment, and the range of the exhaust shall discharge to the outdoors. The exception is a lifted and labeled ductless range, which shall be permitted where the charcoal filter is provided in the hood to reduce smoke and odors. That's a saving of $1,250 per exhaust location for a ductless range hood. M53-21, 601.5 return air openings was added. A return air from a closet shall serve only the closet and shall not require a dedicated closet supply duct. Return air taken from a closet smaller than 30 feet shall require the closet door to be undercut no less than 1/3 inches or be either a louver door or include an air transfer grill. Both have an air free area of no less than 30 inches. So that adds about $250 for undercutting or grill for wood door, adds $500 for custom undercutting or grilling for hollow metal door. M67-21, revised 1006.6 safety and relief valve discharge, and it deleted footnote 13, which reduced the amount of pipe needed, and this decreased the pipe cost by 15%. It allows the use of black steel pipe instead of galvanized piping for relief valve discharges. And those are the cost impacts. Any questions?
Right, mechanical tack, any questions on the report?
Jeff. This is Kenny. I just have question. You could probably answer it. Is this report only showing the differences between the 2021 and the 2024 I-code, or is it intended to show the difference between the adopted Florida Mechanical Code?
It's going to look at the difference between the 2021 code and the 2024 code. Those are the codes we analyze.
Okay. This may not be the time. I apologize if it's not, but there are some things in Chapter 11 that are in your proposal that are don't seem to align with what the Florida Mechanical Code. So I guess, Jeff, we'll have a chance to talk about that in September.
Right. Then when the TAC will decide to recommend which which changes from the I-codes to recommend to the commission. That will take place. We'll have extensive discussions on each of these proposed changes at the in those meetings in September and October.
Yeah, very good. Thank you for answering.
Yeah, this is Momodani. I think for the stuff that's not in Chapter 11, which is I am aware of, those are not there because of the fact nobody, you know, they were not proposed or accepted in the prior processes for inclusion in the for the building code. So if any interest in these to be included, it would be really the opportunity next year where for you to propose a code change for them to include.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any, are there any other questions from the mechanical tech? All right, is there anybody from the public who wants to comment on this sort of component of the report? All right, and coming back to the mechanical tech, is there a motion to accept the interim draft report for the research project evaluation of the cost, impact, and benefits of the 2024 ICO changes prescriptive? By name, please. By Pittman and Kaye, respectively. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, then all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? And then, David, if you would just say we stand adjourned, the mechanical tax would be adjourned.
Mechanical tax stands adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you, mechanical tax. Ray, do you have anything to show to the swimming pool tech?
No.
All right. Then from the swimming pool tech, we look for a motion to accept the interim draft report regarding the cost, impact, and benefits of the 2024 ICO changes prescriptive. Is there a motion, please, by name?
Also Linda Patrick, so moved.
All right. And we have a motion and a second from Linda Patrick and Michael Garasio, respectively. Unless there's any discussion or questions, then all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? That would be unanimous. Based on that, Jim, if you would like to say that we stand adjourned, that would adjourn the pool pack.
We stand adjourned.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. I think we got through all 10 of our tacks on this issue now, so.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The conference is no longer being recorded.